Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It is Four Ends, the foodie.
And we are back.
We're back, yep.
We're doing an episode from The Worst Roommate Ever. Yeah. Which is just a very scary series.
Yeah, it's just confirmation that there's absolutely no need on this planet Earth to have a roommate, like...
But then there's also every need, because the housing market, apparently in America as well as in this godforsaken land, is shit.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's actually shit. Like, I was on Twitter and this guy was saying how he, so they're doing this thing now when you're renting, yeah, where they'll say the price per month, but they'll say like offers from or offers in excess of, yeah. So this guy put down...
Are you buying the house?
This guy put down £350 more a month than what was required, yeah. In order to get the house, and he didn't even get it because the people who got it offered £600 more a month than the initial asking price.
But then I just
that's the market that we're in.
Yeah, but I just also think it doesn't make sense who is renting these properties, because there's a cost of living crisis. So because like I was watching one TikTok and the girl was like, yeah, like the rent was £2,000 a month
for what?
For the property.
Yeah, but what was it? Two bed.
And then she lost that because someone put down 2 years rent. And my mum was like, that person is a criminal. Deposit. Yeah, because 2 years rent is a house deposit. So just buy a house. And my mum was like, use your sense. That person is a criminal. But then I'm thinking, how many criminals can there be? Because say the rent is £2,000, right? And they're saying offers in excess of, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to put 2,600. That is a big lump. And
it's a massive difference to be able to reconcile. If your budget was 2,000, but maybe that's the lower end of someone's budget. I don't know. I just, even there's one place we were going to go and view. Yeah. And we put in we emailed the guy and was like, oh, can we come and view the property? They said, oh, there's no viewings available. All the viewings are booked up. I said, so to even view the place, it's not possible.
Now, like, apparently there's some places that they only do online viewings. Just see it there and take it if you want it. Ugh. To be a landlord.
This is why everyone hates landlords. Because why? I don't understand. Someone is saying, you're telling me that the price of this property per month, it pays your mortgage and gives you the extra that you need as a landlord for 2K a month, yeah? Mm. But because someone has said, oh yeah, 2,600.
I guess in that essence when you're talking about
offers in excess of, that's madness to me. You're not buying the house if you said, because the thing is, if you had said, okay, it should be 2,600 a month, that's the price, somebody with a 2K budget wouldn't even come across this property because it wouldn't be their thing. But you acknowledge that it should be 2K, you're happy with that price, but someone has come.
But in terms of the pricing of the property, so if you're talking about two people bidding against each other, I don't know, but in terms of the pricing, you can't, as a landlord, you can't just put a price, even if you acknowledge that yes, it should be 1,000, a property here should be £1,000. If properties around you are going for 1,500, you can't then just put the property as
no. I understand that, but all of that is eliminated by the fact that you're saying offers in excess of. That means you're bad minds. I know you're trying to make sense of it, yeah, but like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, capitalism.
It doesn't make sense.
And I mean, capitalism. Nothing. Even property. Even if you're looking at buying the property, it doesn't even make sense. We all know we're overpaying. Even when you come to remortgaging, how is it that some people's mortgage goes up by like £300? It's the same. And all I am paying. That extra is just the interest. It's not even that you're chipping away at the ownership of the...
But this is what I'm saying. Even when it comes to like roommates and stuff, yeah, you're seeing rooms for like £1,000 a month for a room.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, it's an ensuite.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense, and people are having to have roommates because they cannot afford to live on their own. It's mad. No one's saying that like, I want a penthouse and I want 6 rooms, da, da, da. In order for somebody to even get a one bedroom flat for them to live on their own, to get away from their family or to be closer to work or whatever the reason might be, yeah, you can't even afford it. That's mad. Like, it should be affordable. I'm not saying it should be cheap or anything, yeah? But it should be affordable. People should be able to have a full-time job, a good-paying job, and afford to live somewhere.
Yeah.
It's madness. I mean, so no wonder people have roommates and they're killing them. Spoiler alert.
I mean, all around, it's all crazy. All parts of the...
of life, society.
Yeah, the current state of things is crazy. Like, the cost of food is crazy. The cost of fuel is crazy. The cost of housing is crazy. And everything's interlinked. So once one thing is spiking up, the interest rate
goes up.
Inflation, everything goes up.
But the salaries.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they said their salaries have risen, but they have not risen enough to combat. No, but not the
same rate. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they can say that it's risen because they want to do like politically correct or like technically, yeah, it's risen. Yeah. But what's my salary rising by £2,000 a year if my rent has gone up by, do you know what I mean? Yeah. By £300 a month. That's way more than £2,000 a year.
Either way, it's a flipping tight pinch. It's just crazy.
It's dumb. Yeah. So yeah, now that we've delved into depression, let's get on with the documentary.
Let us start. So yeah, guys, we're doing the world's worst remix. So this is episode 2, as we said. I feel like when this mini series, or this, I don't know what to even class it as, when they first came out, they were all over Twitter. Like, I was seeing people talk about them all over the place. And I watched it, and this one in particular actually stood out to me because I just found the story insane. Like,
yeah, it's called Be Careful of the Quiet Ones.
You cannot even be safe in your own home.
And it's like your own home, like your home that you own.
Yeah. So the documentary opens up with a news cycle about a missing army vet, Maribel Ramos. So she's from Orange, CA, which is different from Orange County, from what I could gather. And she's missing. So it's May 3rd, 2013, and we meet Officer Ramirez, and he's a detective, basically, and he's been briefed about this missing vet. And the whole thing is she didn't show up to this softball game, which was really, really out of character. And one thing I loved about, I guess, this case in general was how quickly everything moved. Mm-hmm. Like, usually you hear like, oh, it has to be 24 hours before we can da-da-da-da.
Well, they did say that. Well, I don't know if they said that, but that did come up in this episode.
I think they moved quickly.
I'm not saying they didn't move quickly, but they did say, oh, it has to be 24 hours.
Okay. Well, either way, things seemed to move quickly in terms of her people contacting the police and stuff like that. Yeah,
considering it wasn't like a little white girl as well. Like, it really...
Yeah, I was about to say she's Latina from what I could gather or from what we could see. So it was really, I guess, good to see. They basically interview people in her life and they keep circling back on the roommate because everyone else seems to either have an alibi or there's nothing to be suspicious about.
Yeah, there's like no reason why they would wish her harm.
Yeah, but this roommate just doesn't, there's something off. And I find it really interesting how in America they call it a roommate when it's a flatmate. Like, why would you say roommate?
Yeah, because you don't live in the same room.
Yeah, like, it just...
They do that at, like, college, some of their colleges, yeah, right?
Yeah, I went to...
Which I think is wild. I'm so sorry. I can't imagine going to uni and sharing a room with a stranger.
I went to... I did a study abroad in America, so I went to, I guess, college or uni, whichever, whoever's listening is the same thing. But yeah, I went to uni in America for, like, a semester and I had a roommate.
That's
so
wild.
When people say roommate, I find it weird because it's like, you actually have a roommate and that's a room shared. Now, everyone says it's so strange, it's wild. It's actually not. So living the experience is actually good, and I can understand why they do it like that. Because uni or college in America is massive, right? Like, it's huge. It's nothing compared to what we experience here. And if you don't have someone immediately that you have some sort of interaction with, you're going to be really, really isolated and quickly. So if I didn't have my roommate, I never would have made friends. Literally, she was the like person who helped me make friends because I didn't understand the culture. She was the bridge between me being Black British and her being Black American. And that's how I made friends. Like,
yeah, I guess that's like, because you got along.
Yeah, of course.
The reason I think it's weird is because that she could have been anybody.
It
could have been a terrible time.
Yeah, yeah, you can obviously request a change. You're not forced. And also another thing is before you get to the rooms, you have like this, it's almost like a social media page that you fill out about yourself and this and that. And you can share like your personal details in terms of number and stuff. So you're meant to interact beforehand. Yeah. So there are a lot of
things.
How do they
match you up then based on like who you are?
Yeah, so you fill stuff in about the stuff you like and then you're matched up with someone who suits your personality.
It's not just like, surnames.
Yeah, but I don't know verbatim if this is what happens in every single college. It's just the one I went to. Before we went, we filled things in, we matched up, we had our picture, blah de blah blah. So yeah, they fill all that, and it's clear because like in my dorm there were just a lot of black people, so it was obvious they matched
the niggas.
The niggas. They put all the niggas in one dorm. But yeah, nah, it was really, really, and like even in terms of like changing and stuff like that, like it's fine. You have shared bathrooms as well, and the bathrooms are nice, like it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I had an ensuite when I was in my first year of uni, so I wasn't even trying to share like bathrooms.
I actually never had an ensuite in uni. It just wasn't available to me. Like every time I went, by the time you
what in the UK?
Yeah, it was gone. They just anyway. Were yeah, just wasn't available. And then even like in terms of shenanigans, like you just time it like, okay bro, you have the room, you go stay with the guy, or it's actually fun. I think it's fun. Like it's just like what you see in the movies. It's good fun.
Great, love that for you.
So we learn a bit about Maribel's life now. So Maribel was an army vet. She had started off in the army, and then the war hit and she actually was deployed. So she did her first tour and her second tour, and she came out and she decided she actually wanted to go back to uni.
I didn't know you can just like leave like that, you know.
I think if it's like education that's linked to the army, then you can.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought it was always, you know, you always hear about, oh, dishonorable discharge.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's honorable as well, but like that doesn't get as much like, wait, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just wild because like the way they say it is like she joined and then the war, like 9/11 happened, and then she had to go.
It's like you couldn't have anticipated that was going to happen and you were going to be deployed, yeah.
And her sister was saying how difficult it was, how they missed her and everything. So when
it seemed like it was just the two of them in terms of sisters.
Yeah, yeah. They had
cousins and stuff.
Yeah, but she seems like a close-knit family in general.
They seem so, because Maribel was the eldest sister, and then her sister, what's her name, Lucero?
Yeah.
Lucy. She was the younger one.
The youngest, yeah. So when she comes, she decides she wants to go back to school. Her and her mum move into an apartment together so she can go to school. Now, obviously, tragedy hits and then her mom passes away. And this is all the lead up as to how we get the roommate, because her mom passes away and Maribel, it seems like, couldn't really maybe afford the rent or something. So she asks her sister, like, yo, Lucy, like, can you move in
with me?
Yeah. And her sister has a kid at this point. And her sister's like, nah, like, you know, my daughter's settled. She's in school. Everything's kind of good. Like, it might be a bit disruptive moving in.
Which is absolutely valid.
Yeah. But her sister's like, listen, try and get a roommate, and if you don't, then I'll come. So in comes Casey. So Casey Joy.
The joy is not lost on me.
Yeah, what an oxymoron. So Casey sees the ad and like obviously contacts, and he basically says, listen, I have an interview in Orange and I think I'm going to get the job. So I'm just looking for somewhere where I can live. I'm really quiet. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. I have a dog. Maribel had a dog as well. And she was like, okay, that's calm. And she was like, okay, this could work because he's a bit older. He seems more mature. Just chilled. And he's not going to distract me from my studies.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, I'll come and see it. If I like it, then we take it from there. He came to see it. The dogs get along. Casey takes the flat. So obviously, as we've said, Casey is almost like a lone wolf. That's how he presented himself. And Maribel notices that Casey's really lonely after more time like they spent living together. He doesn't really come out. And so, like, just being a nice person, she's like, you know what? Like, I've got this whole bunch of friends. I've got this family. I'm going to, you know, invite him to share, include him. And she starts including him in things. And slowly they become friends. So let's put a pin in that. It's now May the 4th, 2013. So this is hours after Maribel is missing. And basically, the detectives are kind of like honing in on Casey. Like, they're very suspicious of him. They can't really say why, but they're really suspicious.
You live with her. You're the last person to have seen her.
Exactly.
Like, no one else really had any issues with her. Like, who else is it going to be? Like, come on. Sometimes, like, when you hear hooves, it's horses, not zebras. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it's the obvious thing sometimes.
It is what it is, literally. So, like BD said, he was the last one to see her. And his story just wasn't adding up. He was basically saying that the last time he saw her was 9 o'clock. Then he went for a drive. And then he came home and Maribel was gone.
Where did you go?
Where did she go?
I just went
for a drive. It was like, bro, like, what is you, like, what are you talking about?
Like, did you even try with this story?
Literally. So Maribel's sister Lucy recalls that the summer before Maribel went missing, Casey had called her and basically said, listen, I'm in love with your sister. She wants to get married. She wants to have kids. I could really be that guy for her. And Lucy's like, bro, like, you're old as fuck. She is vivacious. The young woman,
she's a bad bitch, yeah,
literally,
and she's a strong ass woman, yeah. Like, I don't understand, is it that he lacks self-awareness? Because sometimes you have to think,
but the audacity of men,
but, and that's it, because look at me and look at you, and you really thought that this was, you really thought,
right? So Lucy basically calls her sister, like, bring her, you need to chat to your roommate because it's a bit uncomfortable, he's feeling you, like, it doesn't set the record sit well straight, with
like,
me.
Yeah. Just so it can't be as if you're stringing him along. Like, let him exactly. know where he is. Yeah.
Literally.
Be honest. So, like men like to say, be honest.
Literally. So Maribel's,
if you didn't like him, why didn't you just say something? If you didn't like him, why didn't you just say something? Oh, yeah, because this is why.
This
because
is why.
This is why.
This is exactly why. So Maribel has a chat with Casey, and after this, she calls her sister, and she's like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. He's cool. He gets it. We're just friends. Like, nothing to worry about.
But so, listener, there was everything to worry about.
Right. So the sisters start to notice that Casey starts to change. He gets like a facelift.
No, let's go back. Let's go backwards, actually. Because Maribel says to Casey, oh, you look really good with a tattoo. This guy goes to get a Bengal tiger on his forearm, a massive one.
It's all mad.
A massive one. That's the first strike.
Red flag, yeah.
Yeah? That's the first strike. And then he goes to get 10K facelift. They show the before and after.
The after was an after in.
He looked younger, but he just looked like maybe he moisturized.
Yeah, he looked like he had a good night's rest. And
he also looks a bit more tanned, which wasn't really like the result of the face. I don't know, do facelifts tan you? I don't know.
I know, he probably went to a quack to get it. He probably went to flipping. What's that guy from the last documentary with?
Oh, what's it, Amron? No, Amron was the, what was his name? I know which one. The one that was saying, oh, I don't know about women in London, but in America, we're actually good.
Not even him.
Oh, Chugay.
Chugay, yeah. He probably went to Chugay for that facelift.
No, right. He didn't look as bad as Chugay.
So, yeah, he's changed his appearance. He starts going out more. Like, and obviously, it's all in a bid to appear younger and more. Right. And more desirable. Like, this is how I do imagine Drake to behave if you rejected him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those tattoos Drake has are as a result of being rejected. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the police learned that 2 weeks before she went missing, Maribel had called 999. Funnily enough, either one you dial in any country, you'll get the emergency services. Yeah, like if you dial 911 here, you'll get them. If you dial 999 there, you'll get them. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Hi, Orange Police. Okay, well, I just want to let you know that I have a roommate that should be leaving at the end of the month. We had a conversation today that he kind of freaked me out. I'm not feeling comfortable around him anymore. I'm feeling threatened.
What's your name?
And my name is Maribel.
My name is... What's your last name, Maribel?
Robles. Sorry, Lois.
Okay.
2 weeks before she got missing, Maribel had dialed 911 because Casey had been displaying some really disturbing behavior.
They didn't really say what he did, though.
Basically, what we can gather is, I don't know what led to this, but she basically told him, like, listen, you need to be out at the end of the month. And it seemed like the month had reached and he wasn't trying to leave.
And but I don't think he had left yet, because she, in the 911 call, she says, oh, like, he's going to be out by the end of the month. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, it was approaching or something had happened.
It wasn't the end of the month yet.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, actually, yeah, you're right. I don't know what led to this series of
events. And they didn't specify.
They don't go into details. There is another documentary I've watched on this, but I can't remember what they said because I think they went into a bit more detail. It wasn't more focused on the whole roommate element, so there was more detail about the case itself. But I can't remember what led to this. But either way, I think there was a confrontation, actually, about him liking her.
Maybe him liking her. Maybe her basically trying to set the record straight. But listen, bro, I already told you. Yeah. Like, I don't fuck with you like that.
I think, if memory serves me well, that's what it was about. It's really sad.
It's actually
she's
very scary.
Sobbing on the phone, and she's clearly... And this woman, like, even when they talk about her later on, like, she's obviously, like, a strong woman. And I'm not talking about emotionally, like, physically, because she's an army
She was in the army, bro. Like, she's... Yeah.
even like her sister and her niece describe her as a bit of a tomboy. Like,
yeah,
she was like strong.
She could have taken Casey. She could have taken, if it was a fair fight, she could have taken him 100%.
So you can only imagine how unsafe she must have felt to be like sobbing on the phone.
Yeah. And also like the operator that she speaks to. So Maribel's like, oh, is this recorded? Mm. Almost as if like I really want this to be recorded so that there's a, you know, history of me making this call. Mm. And then the operator is like, all calls are recorded. I was like, I can understand, like, you kind of lose empathy when you do a job like this because it's just a bunch of people with issues all the time, but like, also that's your job. Do you know what I mean? Like, can you have a bit of like vim?
Yeah, honestly. And okay, another thing as well is at this point Casey had stopped paying rent, so Maribel was covering his side of the rent,
and it's like, why are you here then? If I'm still going to be paying the rent myself.
So you're just tormenting me for nothing. And even her sister was like, you don't fuck with Maribel's money. So, yeah, I just feel like she was in a really, she felt really vulnerable at this point.
Mm-hmm. Understandably.
So there's another confrontation between Casey and Maribel, and it gets really heated because at this point it's time for him to move out and he hasn't moved out. So this is when he was meant to move out and he hadn't moved out. So they're going back and forth. And she actually calls her friend Paul on the phone. And almost as like backup. And I just want to say, like, ladies, when you're getting to the point where you want things recorded, you need other parties to be privy to the conversation, it's honestly time to leave because you're in a dangerous situation.
A very volatile situation.
Yeah. Like, you shouldn't need like to call 911. You shouldn't need to call your friend. Like, the situation is obviously very dangerous. You should be, you know,
but then at the same time, like, this is my home, so what, I'm just gonna
of course
leave. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so I can understand, and I think you never think that it's gonna get to the place where this got to. You just never think that in the moment, and especially when it's like, look at Casey, look at Maribel could have, like, if it became a physical altercation, I can't lie, she was taking it. So it's like she probably felt like, and I don't know, like, it just really shouldn't have happened.
So she calls, like we said, she calls her friend Paul's back up, and he's like, listen, if you don't get the hell out of there by tomorrow, I'm going to come in and get your shit out.
The friend says that?
Yeah, Paul. Okay. So this is the day that she, like, this is the last known conversation she ever had, basically. And we're assuming, okay, so spoiler alert, she's murdered. So we're assuming that this is the day where she was murdered. So basically what Casey is saying is that after this confrontation, he then gets in his car and goes for a drive to cool down. Mm-hmm. And by the time he's returning, she's gone. So this is we're doing a full circle moment here to him saying that he went for a drive.
Yeah,
this
him
is,
being back in the police interrogation.
This is the catalyst for why he went for the drive. But he tries to downplay that argument. He's like, oh, it wasn't really a confrontation. Like, we were just having a chat and she called Paul. I don't know why she called Paul, but yeah, I just went for a drive after that. But obviously it was heated because why did she call Paul? Why did you go for a drive if it was just a chat? Fucking liar. Okay, so now we get a clear timeline of how everything went down. So it gets to late in the evening and Lucy, so it gets to the morning and next morning, and Lucy gets a text from Casey basically saying, Maribel didn't come home last night, you know, I'm worried about her. And Lucy's thinking, this guy is just a bugaboo, he's trying to figure out where my sister is, this isn't a big deal, she's grown, like, I'm not gonna worry about it. So she says she goes about her day, and I can imagine that this must have haunted her. But she says she goes about her day, she goes for dinner, and then she gets a text from like a friend saying, listen, I really don't want to alarm you, but Maribel didn't come for softball, and she would never
miss
have
that.
Missed.
But not Casey. Lucy does message, like, she texts Maribel.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like, oh, hey, happy Friday, like, just kind of checking in kind of thing.
And she never
replies. Yeah. And then she gets a text about the softball, and it's like, okay. And the thing is, I feel like this is really scary to me because everybody feels like you would just know if something was wrong, or you would just feel it, you would sense it. And Lucy didn't sense anything, like, she didn't feel anything, and I think that that's probably more common than we would want to believe.
I think because you expect every day to go as routine.
People are like, oh, I just knew something was wrong, it's just it just felt off, you know. Some people are like that.
So then police and family decide to do a welfare check, and this is such a scary moment, basically. So they go to do a welfare check, they're banging on the door, nobody seems to be home, they can see Maribel's lights on, but they can't, like, nobody's coming to the door. And apparently Casey was in a car on the other side of the road with binoculars watching all of this go down. Mate. Do you know how twisted and psychotic you
What's wrong
to
with
be?
You? And then just casually comes out and walks to the front. What yeah. are you doing?
He casually comes out, walks over, and he's like, oh, like, hey, guys. And he starts talking to the police. He wouldn't even look Lucy in the eye and have a conversation with her. He immediately just, speaks to the police. So we're back in the interrogation room, and the police are basically saying that it was really difficult to interact with Casey because he had a really strong accent and he was speaking in broken English.
Her baseball bat is still in the closet. Her baseball bat or her bag was right in the closet. She didn't go play the game. Her baseball bat all in the closet because she didn't go to the game.
It was a little bit frustrating kind of getting facts out of him because he kind of spoke broken English.
Maybe you know about that story. First time when I'm
you know about it. And then the like Detective Ramirez is like, bro, like we spoke to people who knew him and they were like, he came to America as a kid. Like this, I don't even know where his accent came from because he's like American. Like he Mad. Doesn't talk like this.
It's like me being arrested and now just speaking pidgin English.
Honestly.
Like broken pidgin English.
And Lucy's theory is he did this to garner like empathy. Like he was like, and I believe it. Like if he
yeah,
comes
like sympathy,
as
like oh, as if like okay, he doesn't know what he's doing, or yeah, or to, or so to he, appear like an imbecile, which is very crazy for you to do to your people, because he's yeah. East Asian.
Yeah,
I don't know where exactly he's from, but for you to do that to your people, you're basically trying to like perpetuate a stereotype, as if like oh yeah, we don't really know anything, and so leave me alone. That's literally wild on so many levels.
So many levels. So the police notice that there are lots of scratches on Casey, and he says that he got them from digging out fishing rods in bushes. And it was almost like they were basically like everything you could ask this guy. He had a very valid answer as to why, like, he was able to do it. Like, it was difficult to pinpoint. Like, anybody else might have caved in, but he was like, no. He had
with the scratches, it's not as if they had Maribel where they could say, okay, well, we'll check her nails then and see if her DNA is there.
Exactly.
It's literally my word against no one's.
Literally. So it was difficult to nail him. Though they knew and they had their suspicions, you couldn't be like, conclusively, this is it. So the family decides to have a candlelight vigil. And Casey attends, but he's on the fringes. Like, he doesn't chat to anyone. He doesn't actually come and stand with everyone. He just says he's too sad. And he doesn't want to be around family. And we see it.
So why are you here then?
It's just weird. And it's that thing of, like, sometimes, like, killers want to, like, absorb the grief and just be
involved.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Meanwhile, you're still living in that house rent-free. Nah, stop it.
It's mad. So other dodgy things happen. They create like an online page for Maribel, like just to help bring her home. And Casey's in these discussions and he's mentioning her in the past tense, which is an absolute red flag.
Yeah.
That should be admissible in court, like just as simply enough to, because what can, like,
because
what
why is it past tense?
Said? Yeah. Yeah. When the police, so the police start digging into like Casey's life, and when they do so, they find out that like he'd fled from home because his parents had died and there were some issues around their estate, and then he got into a massive altercation with his sister and she actually had a restraining order.
Mate, from your sister, your flesh and blood. Yeah,
your flesh and blood.
You are mad person.
And she was basically like, this guy is insane. He has a terrible temper. He's a monster. Like, he's the worst person, like, you know, you'd probably ever meet. So the police are like, I'm going to do a Vanessa Lachey. Aha!
Sorry, yeah. Also, did you hear Kwame on Aloni Space on Twitter?
No, I didn't listen. By the time I found out about it, it was done.
No, but you can listen it back.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm not on
I'll send it Twitter. To you. Anyway, I still feel the way that I feel in terms of, like, he doesn't seem genuine. Like, his laugh is like a very politician-type laugh, but I did warm up to him more after listening to it.
Yeah, I warmed up to him more after the reunion.
It was the same vibe. Yeah, it was the same vibe. Yeah.
But you know what? I just feel like cancel the whole show.
Yeah, but they never will.
Nah, they never will. But that's just how I feel.
It's a money-making, like, venture for them.
I don't think I'm going to watch that. Because do you know what it is?
I said this last time, but I still watched it, so.
We all love reality TV, but it's almost like because of how, like, we want reality TV that we don't know is, like, orchestrated. All this chat that's coming out, all this, like, it just seems like since season one, like,
it's just been very produced.
Yeah,
I think reality TV shows nowadays are overproduced. I feel the same way with Drag Race. Like, you're watching it from the mind of someone who, it's almost like you are out of your body watching it. Do you get what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, I can never just watch a show now. I'm just like, oh, why did they show me this scene? Or why is this person getting a lot of, like a longer edit? They're going home this week. Do you know what I mean? It's like, reality TV these days is so overproduced that it's almost not enjoyable to watch anymore because we're not as oblivious as we were before.
Yeah, they need to bring it back to like the simple life of Paris and literally, I don't even know if they... What was it? The Simple Life of Paris.
The Simple Life. It was Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
Or was it just called The Simple Life?
I think it was just called The Simple Life.
Yeah, like, or even like, I remember watching, I just saw some clips on TikTok of Nick and Jessica, their show. Just like shit that just, it seemed like they would just record and just put out whatever it was they filmed. They didn't edit anything. And that was absolutely fine. Just gave them a mic, like, and human, a dream. Human beings are trash. They're going to show their asses anyways. You don't need to orchestrate all this drama. Just do a scripted show then, if
that's what you want
to
do.
Yeah, like all this drama. Speaking of shows,
did you used to watch Sunny with a Chance?
Yes.
So people are basically, because Disney is turning 40 or whatever, people have been putting throwbacks, And there's this song on Sunny with a Chance, And it's this episode where, like, people were wearing, like, skinny pants or skinny jeans or whatever. And they were like, don't wear the pants if they are skinny. Stop SPS, change the way you dress. Do you remember the song?
No.
I'm going to send it to you. It's a fucking banger. I swear to you, when I saw it on Twitter, I was like, nah, this has unlocked a memory. It was such a tune. And it was so dumb. And I was just like, nah. We had such amazing shows when we were children. Like, we had amazing shows.
Yeah, there's this whole TikTok thing about why millennials are so nostalgic. But let's remove that to the side, I just think the generation of children being raised now don't have content for kids. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I feel like our generation was the last generation that had content that was for kids.
What do you mean? What about, like, Baby Shark and that?
Oh, F off with Baby Shark, man. It's a song. Like,
but wasn't it a show or something?
No, it's just a song. I'm talking about, like, I just feel like the content now is so, like, mature. Like, the stuff I see that are meant to be kids' shows and things like that. Like, I remember that. Like, and you would progress. Do you know what I mean? Like, it started off with, like, Nick Jr., like, Blue's Clues, this and that.
Yeah.
Then you progressed to, like, Nickelodeon. And then it was, like, Disney. And then, Channel, do you know what
Channel,
I mean?
Yeah.
Trouble. And you had MTV. The natural progression of, like, like, now it's just, like, and even if you want to try and, I guess, orchestrate what your kids are watching, they have access to so much, like, social media and, like, devices. You really can't, like,
you can't really control it.
They're overly stimulated. So I feel like I don't know, maybe every generation says this, but, like,
Every generation does say stuff like this, but I kind of see where you're coming from with this one though.
Yeah,
like, because every generation says stuff, but, like, technology hasn't technologied like this before.
Yeah,
so this is a whole new thing.
It's a whole new whatever. Like, kids from a young age are, like, literally, even when you watch TikToks, you see kids dancing to, like, grown people's music. Like, they are very aware of, like, the grown concepts we all in, like, watch and whatever. So I don't know, I feel like there's an erosion of childhood now. It's a shame. I don't know how we got here.
Yeah, me neither.
But Casey was a shit guy, basically.
Yeah, amen.
So the police decide, okay, if they're gonna catch this guy, they need to set up a surveillance. And they start, you know, monitoring him, and he goes to the library and he rents a laptop, which is like, bro, okay.
Very 2013. Actually, to be honest, even in 2013, anyway, yeah.
So do you know what is so wild? I was thinking about 2016 the other day, and I was like, that was just like 2 years ago. Then I was like, fucking 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Like, how did we get to the point where 2016, because
it's crazy.
I was watching something. I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's what it is. And I was looking at their dressing and I was like, this is really wild for it to have not been that long ago. And then I was like, oh my God.
But it was that long ago.
It was. So literally, it's now its own era of fashion because it was.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm like that with 2018. I feel like 2018 was literally a couple of years ago. And I don't think I'm wrong. I know the maths doesn't agree, but I just honestly don't think I'm wrong. Like, 2018 wasn't that long ago.
No,
but when you deep it, okay, cool, we're at the beginning of the 20s. Soon it'll be 25 and that's mid-20s.
Yeah.
And then it's going to get to 2030. And then what the fucking hell does anything mean after that?
The fact that 2016 was only almost 10 years ago.
Wild.
And it was just, but somehow it was only 2 years ago. It doesn't make sense.
At the same time. Because that's when Controller and all them songs came out, One Dance. And they just came out.
They just came out. I just finished, like,
winding up my waist. Like,
girl, VFFR, like, wow. This is crazy.
Oh, I was wondering when you were going to say that. You hadn't said it this episode. You've really been overusing it. Like, you lost the sauce, fam. My God. Take a shot every time before it says VFFR.
I haven't said it a lot this... I don't say it a
That's
lot
That's what I'm
this
saying.
Pod.
This episode, you haven't. This
I is the first say it time. On the pod.
Yes, you do. Go and listen back.
Because people do need to be for fucking real. So
that's what they need to do.
If it's not my fault that there's so many situations where people do need to be FFR. But
this situation with Casey.
Yeah, exactly. So he is searching some disturbing things on the internet.
Yeah, the library.
But then again, so he's like, oh, how long does it take for a body to decompose? Can you track someone's signal on the phone if they're just stuff like this? That's very, but then it's like,
it's also not weird.
Yeah. The guy was like, so even if we pull him up on this,
that's not enough for any kind of conviction.
It's not enough for anything because he can say, yeah, like I'm worried about her. So I want to know, like,
exactly. Can they still find her? Do we have time? And also you could just be curious to find out how long it takes for a body to decompose without having killed someone.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember after my granddad died. Yeah. I went down this spiral and I was literally looking at pictures of, what? Like, it grief is weird. It's
pictures
very
of
weird.
What?
Like, how, like, different stages of
decomposition.
Because you think to yourself, okay, my loved one is in the ground. How long are they still going to look like themselves? And then you go through this thing where, like, I don't know if anybody else who's lost someone has this, but you go through this thing where, like, what if they're alive and we buried them? So then you start to think, okay, like, if we open the casket now, he'd be fine, or this, or that, or the third. And then I was like, I want to know, like, how he would be. Would he still be himself? And
That's crazy. I guess because you didn't see him, like,
exactly
dead as well. It's not like he walked in or he was there or whatever. It's like someone told you from across the way, oh yeah, he's dead. It's like, okay, am I just supposed to believe you then?
Even after the day after he died, you obviously have to go and, like, see,
identify
him. And then, like, my mum's brothers went, and then the first, because I honestly was like, nah, they're gonna get there and it was a mistake. So that's what I had been telling myself when I woke up in the morning. I was like, friends, you know, it's fine, like, actually they're gonna get there and all of this was a mix-up, like, you know how Nigeria is. So when they got there, I was anxiously waiting to come back, and I was like, oh, like, mommy, was it him? And she was like, she was almost shocked. She was like, yeah. And I was like, no, are you sure? Like, did they touch him? Did they see him? And she was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, like, your worst nightmare has,
acceptance.
Yeah, so it's crazy. But anyways, I say all this to say my search history then was very weird, so he could have explained this away.
Yeah.
So Maribel's family sets up an awareness walk, and this basically agitates Casey.
Yeah, this is, like, such a good thing that they did.
Yeah, it was really good. And I guess in the end, this guy told on himself.
100%.
So this guy's like sprints to go and rent another laptop. And,
and also
point,
when he walks into the library, yeah, there's like a little kid by the door, and I'm just like, this is how you just be interacting with killers every day. You don't even realize.
Every day, you don't realize.
You don't even realize.
And it's kind of like the money you used for the facelift, you could have bought a laptop, surely. Like,
he could have done many things. He could have paid rent.
Yeah. So he goes, and then he uses this laptop to search the area where they're going to do this walk. And then he zooms in on a particular tree.
Mate. He turns to, like, satellite view, and then looks, and then zooms into the tree.
I think he was, anyways, well, I'll go back to what I think. And then he closes it, clears the search history, and the police are like, before they had even finished surveilling, the other people have been like,
it's their brother. Within half an hour.
Literally. So the documentary's kind of winding down now, but the police get to this location.
The tree.
Yeah. And then they find Maribel. And I think what he was looking at was, I think he thought that satellite was live.
Live view.
So he would just see her
chilling. See if he could see her, yeah.
Yeah, like, bro.
It's like, bro, they took these pictures a while back. Let's all behave ourselves.
Right. Like, even, funny enough, if you look at my street view now, it's our house before we had an extension, which is wild. Like, because if you were looking for where we live, it doesn't even look like that anymore.
Oh, because so it was that long ago that they took the thing.
It was a long time ago. It was over 10 years. So they need to, like, sort
update that
shit, out.
But you know, sometimes you see them little, well, maybe it's not the same. I was going to say, sometimes, you know, you see them little cars with a camera on them, just like driving around. And I think that's for, like, the street view.
Yeah. I remember seeing them, and my dad was like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or even the, sometimes, you know, when you see that thing that looks like a rope on the road, like black.
Yeah,
I didn't know what
cables.
It was. Yeah, my dad was like, oh, they're
checking your speed.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, checking your speed.
Yeah. So they find Maribel, and basically, so they found her, and basically they say that to this day they really don't know
how he killed her.
Yeah, but what they say is that they suspect that he smothered her, like while she was sleeping. Because that is the only way it makes sense for.
He would have had to catch her off guard. He would have had to. There's no way that if it was like everyone was on their A game, he would have beat her. Impossible.
And that makes sense as to why, like, her sister even said when they got into the house, like, her bed was scattered and everything, which it never is.
Yeah, she was in the army. Like, come on.
Yeah. So, on the 17th of May, he was charged with murder. And I would have really loved to get more into, like, the case and how they managed to present this at court. Because it's wild when they don't have cause of death. I don't know what, like, DNA evidence they had. It was just really... It would have been interesting to know,
but I think because they found Maribel's body, and because of the whole him being at the library and all that, and because of him just being a weird guy, I think that that was enough for people to be like, hey, yeah, it's less important how he killed her. The point is that he killed her and he's going to jail for it. So maybe that's sort of the way that they went about it.
Yeah, but on the 29th of July 2014, KTC was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison for the murder of Maribel.
That's a large span.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I would like to know how long.
Why am I seeing 15?
Definitely doing. Literally, I would like to know how long he's definitely doing. And yeah, like, documentary just ends with obviously her sister at her grave. It's really sad, and just saying that she would have loved to grow old with her. And having a sister,
this,
I know.
Yeah, this, like, really touched me. You know.
Yeah, I literally was like, oh my god, because I know how it. Feel like
that's literally my it's like me being Maribel and my sister being Lucy. Like, I,
of course, it's literally for you, because they're just two of you.
I just, like, honestly, if anything happened to my sister, especially where it's like someone has taken that person from you, it's like if you just didn't come into contact with this one person, you might still be here.
You'd still be here. Yeah.
And Lucy says she has this bit where she's saying she kind of, you know, really beat herself up and blamed herself for a long time for not moving in with her sister. But now she's in a place where she doesn't do that anymore. And it's like, she shouldn't. It's not your fault. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's really not your fault.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah,
that was a documentary, that episode. Yeah. I mean, the whole like series is, I'm not going to say good, because it's actually like wild, but I do think it's worth the watch. Yeah. And yeah, basically just to remind you, if you have ever forgotten, that people are mad. And yeah.
They are in fact mad.
But now it's time for...
The real crime, I think, was the beard.
Our segment where we focus on something during the documentary that may not be criminal, but we definitely consider to be a crime. Mine was just the fact that he spent $10,000 on plastic surgery and wasn't paying rent. Like, bro, your priorities are messed up. And also your tattoo was shit, so.
Yeah. Mine was the accent. It's crazy to me that you woke up and chose to imitate Jackie Chan in Rush Hour when you did, that's not, like, you're now a caricature of your own people.
Of your own people, like, in order to try and garner sympathy for something that you did.
It's just weird. It's wild. Yeah.
I wish that there was a scene where, like, we could have heard how he actually spoke. That's what I
really wanted. I wanted to know, but alas, we didn't get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is us.
That is us. We haven't discussed what we're doing next, have we? But it's okay. We'll figure it out, and then we'll put a trailer at the end. And if there's no trailer, then it'll be a credits.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We've had some love on Twitter recently, and it really fills my heart with glee. So thank you very much. If you want us to cover any particular documentary, just send us an email to twogirlsonedoc@gmail.com, or just comment on any of our social media pages, which is twogirlsonedoc everywhere except for TikTok, where it's twogirlsonedocpodcast. I have not been on TikTok like that, but I'm going to get back to it, because life has been lifing and I'm done editing now. So we here, we back with the TikTok. Where can they find you?
TikTok for Inza Foodie and Instagram for Inza Foodie. I haven't been on TikTok either. Again, life has also been lifing, but I should be all geared up and good to go shortly. So
let me move. Love that for you. Cool. All right. Thanks again for listening. Share with a friend, rate, review, all that stuff.
All right. Bye.
Bye.